Well, welcome to the Bill Bennett Show. Thoughtful conversation about the news of the day. Address the existential threats to America. Today we'll catch up with Byron York, columnist at the Washington Examiner. And he's a Fox News contributor. What are you working on this morning, Byron? Our listeners would love to know.
Well, of course, I thought this might be a special master's preview edition, but if you insist on dealing with substance, I just wrote about migrant crime, the things that a lot of Democrats say do not actually exist.
And it does exist, doesn't it, in large numbers?
Yes.
And that's more bad news for Biden. You had a column, more bad news for Biden. Lots of bad news for Biden, right?
Yeah. You know, I thought the thing that was fascinating about the column about bad news for Biden is that we have seen all these polls that show Trump leading Biden, especially in swing states. Now, it's close almost everywhere. But if you look at Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, some include North Carolina as well. Trump is leading Biden in almost all those states. And clearly, if you win those states, you're going to become president. So that's one thing. But what was interesting about the latest Wall Street Journal poll was that they asked the job approval question, not only about Biden, but about Trump, because this election is unique in anybody's lifetime, because the voters can assess and compare the presidential job performance of both candidates.
In their lifetime, but not in American history.
Grover Cleveland, 1892, he beats Benjamin Harrison and becomes the only president ever to serve two non-consecutive.
Okay. Good man.
Professor Bennett, I knew that one was coming.
Good man. You knew it.
So that's why I say unprecedented in anybody's lifetime, because even Joe Biden was not alive for the election of 1892. So
that is mean.
What's interesting is you can compare presidential performance. And so what they did was, you know, do you approve of the job Joe Biden is doing as president? Biden comes in at 38% approval. And then they say, do you approve of the job Donald Trump did, past tense, did as president? 51% approval. So you have this sort of real time comparison of job approval, not just do you like them or do you have a favorable impression of, but actual job approval for both Trump and Biden. And Trump is 13 points better than Biden. So that's really a pretty extraordinary number. Job approval, the number is usually a pretty good predictor of how a president is going to do in a reelection bid. And you have Trump way above Biden. Now, is it what some people call rosy retrospection? That is, you know, things just seem better in the past.
Yeah.
Or is it a cold factual assessment that the voters are making? I don't know, but that's an interesting number.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Why aren't the Democrats worried? I mean, I know they're worried about Biden, but they don't seem worried to me about the general election. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that they strongly believe. First of all, you have to remember, go back to 2022, when a lot of Republicans got very excited about a huge red wave that was coming, and it didn't come. And there were some Democrats at the time who were saying, look, there's not going to be a red wave. Our Democrats' position on abortion is very, very strong. It's going to weigh down a lot of Republican candidates, and just don't worry about it. There's not going to be a red wave, and there wasn't. So they do feel confident that the abortion issue will continue to pay off for them. And then secondly, they seem to feel confident that even though the indictments of Donald Trump have led to Trump actually becoming more popular among Republicans, that somehow Trump's legal problems will catch up with him. And more importantly, they will be able to successfully portray Trump and his MAGA followers as a threat to American democracy. That is, if Trump is elected, the United States will end. There'll be no more United States.
Yeah.
And so I think that they have a certain fundamental confidence in those two things, democracy and abortion.
Yeah. Are they wrong?
Well, they've certainly got a point on abortion, because that was a big problem for Republicans in 2022. And you have to think about it. I mean, you've been talking about this for decades, and conservatives have been talking about this for decades, that there was no right to an abortion in the Constitution, and what the court should do is strike down Roe and send this issue to the states. And that was the standard conservative position for decades. And you have to think the next step, though, is if you strike down Roe and send it to the states, you're going to have a lot of political battles in the states about it. And nothing is settled right now. And these battles usually consist of Democrats accusing Republicans of some harsh, draconian measures, and thereby increasing the Democratic share of the vote.
Yeah.
So they're going to try it again, and I think they'll succeed at some level with this.
It will. Yeah. Well, I mean, Florida is a
Yeah.
strange thing happened there, right?
Right. We'll have to see what happens when the 6 week thing actually takes effect, which, does not have a lot of public support. I mean, a ban after 6 weeks is just not going to have a lot of public support.
But that
15
was.
weeks, is different than.
But that'll be raised by the Democrats and
Yeah,
highlighted,
absolutely.
at the election, and it won't be resolved till the election time, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And so, I mean, and that's a big state. And as a matter of fact, you've heard in the past week or so, Democrats who had written off Florida completely, saying, wow, what do you, I don't know, maybe we could win Florida. Who knows? So I think that's overconfidence on their part, but clearly I think abortion will again work in their favor overall.
Abortion will work in their favor. The whole MAGA argument, end of the United States, will work with a lot of the people in the middle. They know how to play this game better. I'm not saying they're going to cheat, but they know how to do this election thing
Yeah, they
better.
do. I would say one thing about the MAGA and democracy thing,
Go ahead.
which is very interesting. There was a recent Fox News poll. I don't have the wording just right at my fingertips, but it asked people to list the most important issues. And the economy was first, but the number two issue was election integrity. Now, election integrity is a phrase that you're hearing a lot of Republicans use now to try to undo some of the changes that Democrats made for the COVID election of 2020. And so, if you look inside that Fox poll at, like, okay, who says that election integrity is the most important issue? It was split evenly. And I mean, like, 54% on one side and 55 on the other, evenly between Republicans and Democrats. They both said election integrity was the second most important issue in the whole election. And they meant very different things by election integrity.
What are the two different things they meant?
Well, for Democrats, election integrity means making sure Trump doesn't steal the election. And for Republicans, it's making sure Democrats don't steal the election. I mean, it's pretty clear it's now become kind of a rallying cry on both sides. So I don't know how effective, or whether the quote democracy argument will give a huge advantage to one side or the other, in the way that abortion gives an advantage to one side. I don't know.
Migrant crime. Tell us about it, Byron.
Well, this has become, you're probably hearing a lot more about it. And this has become an issue, especially after the murder of Laken Riley. She was the nursing student
Sure.
in Georgia. And police say, I mean, she was abducted and murdered. Police say the suspect is a man named Jose Antonio Ibarra, who was from Venezuela, entered the United States illegally in September 2022. That means he was part of the Biden rush. He was quickly released into the country, as millions of others were. And then he comes to be involved in some petty crime. And then he, according to police, murders Laken Riley. Now, this becomes a huge thing in the news because, I mean, he's clearly here as a result of Joe Biden's policies. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And Republicans make a big deal. If you remember back during the State of the Union, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, shouted to Joe Biden, "Say her name," meaning Laken Riley. And And Biden, I guess, knew that, something like that was going to happen. So he said her name, except he got it wrong. He called her Lincoln Riley.
Coach.
Got it wrong.
Okay, go.
Anyway,
Okay, anyway.
so he misstates her name. And then he says he refers to her killer as a quote, illegal. Now, that's a shorthand that a lot of people use to refer to an illegal immigrant. You know, he was arrested, or like 14 illegals were arrested in this raid, or something like that. And so, Democrats, there's an uproar about this, not about the murder, but about the fact that Biden used the word illegal to refer to Mr. Ibarra, the man charged in Lincoln Riley's murder. So, Biden has to quickly apologize for using the word illegal and says, oh gosh, sorry, I should have said undocumented. Okay, so that's the whole Lincoln Riley.
Oh man, what a mess
Right?
though.
There it
He
is. That's
embarrasses himself all the way through,
absolutely.
apologizes,
Yep.
about him. Good grief. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, fast forward to today, and you're seeing reports of this police raid at a house in the Bronx where they arrested 8 people, all of whom were in the United States illegally. And they had a number of guns. They had ammunition. They had some extended magazines, which usually indicates the intention to commit some sort of crime. Plus, they found ketamine, the drug ketamine, and cocaine. And they're squatting in this house in the Bronx. They've taken over this house. And the only reason police go there, according to the New York Post, was that one of these guys had flashed a pistol at somebody on the street who freaked out, called 911, and the cops go to this house and they discover these people. So what I'm going to read to you comes from from ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, via Bill Melugin, the reporter at Fox News who's just been doing great reporting on the whole illegal immigrant influx of the last few years. So anyway, he gets this information from ICE. Suspect number one, and I'm not going to pronounce all their names because I would mess them up. Suspect number one entered the U.S. illegally near Brownsville, Texas, May 6, 2023, was released into the United States as a, quote, alternative to detention. You'll see this in a lot of bureaucracies that people are released as an alternative to detention, meaning they have nowhere to detain the person, even if they wanted to. January 6 this year, she was arrested for shoplifting. Then on March 27, meaning last week, she's found at this house in the Bronx in the raid, charged with criminal possession of a weapon, a loaded firearm on school grounds, criminal possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell, and acting in a manner to injure a child. Now, in true New York fashion, she's immediately released. Okay, so she's came to the U.S. May 6, 2023, illegally over the U.S.-Mexico border. Suspect number two entered the U.S. illegally near El Paso, Texas, September 22, 2022, immediately released into the country as an alternative detention, never reported to immigration authorities as his release required. Suspect number three entered the United States illegally near Brownsville, Texas, May 3rd, 2023. He was given a notice to appear before immigration authorities at a later date, was immediately released. August 28th of 2023, arrested in Yonkers, New York, charged with attempted murder and assault with intent to cause serious injury, and was released. Then last week, he's at the Bronx house. He's picked up and he's charged with the various gun and drug charges that I mentioned earlier. He was released again, okay? And after this erupted in the news, ICE picked him up on a detainer, so he's now in custody. But he was released again after the arrest at the Bronx house.
All
Okay.
right. Go ahead. I got a couple of questions, but go ahead.
Suspect number four entered the United States illegally near El Paso, Texas, May 6, 2023. If you're keeping track of these dates, these are all during the Biden rush, okay? All of them. Immediately released as an alternative to detention. March 1, 2023, arrested in New York for petty larceny. immediately released June 18, 2023, arrested in Moonachie, New Jersey. Is that what you say it? Moonachie, New Jersey.
Matching, yep, that'll do it.
For shoplifting, immediately released. September 26, 2023, arrested in New York for criminal possession of a loaded firearm and something called ammunition feeding devices. In other words, an extended magazine for some sort of crime. Released yet again, January 6th of this year, arrested for shoplifting, and on March 27th, arrested at the Bronx house and released. Okay, suspect number five entered the U.S. illegally near Eagle Pass, Texas, October 3, 2022. Immediately released as an alternative detention. I think you're
All
getting bored
right.
now, but you get the point of all this.
Yeah, we're getting the point.
This is a really interesting confluence of two strains of Democratic policy. One, the invitation for millions of unvetted immigrants to cross illegally into the United States and be allowed to stay. And two, in New York, the decision to release almost everybody without bail. So you have people coming in, their first unlawful act is to enter the United States illegally, and then committing a bunch of crimes and immediately just getting released. And it's not until this guy flashes a gun on the street in the Bronx, somebody calls 911, police come to the house, they discover that eight people have taken over the house and have all these guns and drugs and everything. And even then, they're all released.
Do you know if you have a similar situation? Because a lot of these people released, El Paso, some of them must stay in Texas. So if you have, do you have know anything about people who illegals coming into Texas or wherever and committing the same crimes they do in New York? Any idea what happens to them?
Now that's a good question, and I don't have the answer. Although I do, there's one little fragment. I do remember, and this is off the top of my head, one story about an illegal border crosser arrested for a crime saying that in New York. Saying that nobody went to Florida because there they arrest you
Yeah.
and they
Okay.
put you in jail.
Okay.
A lot of these illegal border crossers, they're pretty sophisticated. They know how they can get into the United States, how they can stay in the United States, and if they're criminally inclined, where they can commit crimes and not actually be punished in the United States. And of course, New York is the capital of
Okay.
that category.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Is this reported on CNN? CBS, NBC, ABC.
That is a great question.
I think I know the answer.
First of all, I should say that I am a Fox News contributor.
So am
And
I.
these stories have been reported extensively by Fox News,
And almost exclusively.
almost exclusively. But you have to remember, Fox News was also reporting exclusively this incredible influx over the border. For years, Bill Melugin was down on the border. Reporting all of these people coming over and being allowed to stay. And it wasn't until it began to be felt more in the big cities that some other news organizations began to cover it kind of grudgingly and not in great detail. So, as far as the Bronx House is concerned, I don't know if anybody else has covered it. But thankfully, Fox News knows this is a story. The Bronx House is just part of a much bigger story about this enormous immigrant wave that we have seen. And so they're covering it.
And Fox has got a big audience, but it doesn't have most Americans. I mean,
No.
I know I have liberal friends, so I test them, you know. There's this whole thing about they don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you can't care unless you know,
That's
on
an
this.
excellent corollary.
And I just, I talk to the liberal folks, and most of it's friendly, some of it isn't altogether friendly. And say, how about this?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Then they don't know. Yeah.
Right,
I
good.
would add one more thing to this
Go
is
ahead.
that when Republicans forced this into the news during the State of the Union, by actually, forcing Biden to sort of address it in his own clumsy way, you did see a spate of stories in the so-called mainstream or corporate media, all making the point that immigrants, they say, commit fewer crimes than a native-born Americans. And actually, I went to one of these, NPR, the day after, I think, the State of the Union, said research indicates that immigrants commit less crime than U.S.-born people. The claim that immigration brings on a crime wave can be traced back to the first immigrants who arrived in the U.S.
Yeah,
Ever since
true.
the 1980s and 90s, this false narrative saw a resurgence. So this quickly becomes the Democratic talking point. I will say, I looked at this NPR story, and they cited several academic studies, and all of them ended before the Biden immigration wave began. So they dealt with smaller numbers of people coming in a different context. They also were based on incarceration rates, and what we have now is many, many, many criminals not being incarcerated. And then, there's finally one last point, which actually Guy Benson on Fox News made, who said, first of all, we don't really have our arms around, we don't understand the impact of 10 million illegal border crossings during the Biden crisis. We don't know exactly what effects that's going to have. But also, illegal immigrants, and this is quoting from Guy Benson, illegal immigrants don't have to be disproportionately criminal or violent as a group in order for Americans to feel extra righteous disgust over violent crimes being committed by perpetrators who have no right to be in the country in the first place. So, I mean, that's all, those are all facts. But I think your point that at least half the country is ignoring this completely is a very, very good point.
The second thing is relatively easy for Biden to improve this situation.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, flip of the switch, right?
Always would have been. Yep.
Still could be, but they don't
Yeah.
want to.
Yes. Correct.
What is wrong here? What is
Well, I think you have to look. I mean, first of all, I don't really know, but I do not believe that the crossings of 8 million or 10 million or however many million occurred. I do not believe that this was the result of incompetence in the Biden administration. I think this was a specific policy that they enacted. They saw the effects that it had, and they didn't change it. So I think it's on purpose. Usually when something like this happens, or like this, when something happens, you look at like who benefits from this, and maybe there are a lot of different people who benefit in different ways. Maybe Democrats think that these numbers will someday, not now, but someday become Democratic voters. Maybe some of them kind of just hope for demographic change in the United States, and this will bring about 2050 sooner than it might otherwise come. Maybe some churches hope for more members. Maybe some labor unions hope for more members. So, I mean, there could be a lot of different motives inside the Democratic coalition for wanting this to happen.
Unbelievable. Okay, listen, I got a couple of minutes. My son has become very good friends with a man named Harold Varner. Do you know who that is?
Oh yeah, I think he's usually referred to as Harold Varner the Third.
Okay.
He is a golfer who was making some mark on the PGA Tour and then went to LIV, the Saudi golf league, for presumably for a ton of money. And has not, it's not really lit things on fire at
No,
LIV.
no. But he's been solid.
I just observe these things from the outside, and I just get the sense that Harold Varner is one of these guys who's, been made much more comfortable by his many, many millions of dollars he's got from LIV, and maybe is not really just pouring himself heart and soul into the effort to get better at golf.
Yeah, he's different because he is African American, right?
He is.
Yep, and he went to East Carolina, and my son says he's just a totally terrific guy, wonderful family guy, and so on. So we wish him luck. But what do I know?
Harold Varner,
So
I think, will not be in the Masters.
yeah, we
Maybe
won't.
I don't think. Maybe. Well, you can look at the whole field, but I'm guessing that he probably would not have qualified.
Really? Okay.
Most of the LIV players who are in the Masters are former champions, or are,
Okay.
or maybe who won a major championship in the last 5 years, who would be exempt into the Masters.
Okay. All right. Apart from Harold, then who should we look at?
All right. Well, first of all, I think, by the way, did you watch this Netflix? Well, I should ask applaud this, but
Oh,
the Netflix series, I think it's called, oh, what's it called? Swing.
Full Swing. Thank you
Full
for that.
Swing, Full Swing.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And they have a
Oh, for
second
God.
series. They
For
had a
God's
second
sakes.
season.
What are you guys talking about?
They had a second season, and I just watched it, and it covered. I watched the first part of it, and it covered last year with the Masters and the PGA, and it was all about the LIV PGA Tour divide. And one thing that was really interesting is that Rory McIlroy was quite open about the fact who had four major championships, and Brooks Koepka had four major championships. And he was quite open about the fact that he sure as hell didn't want anybody passing him on the major championship list. And then Brooks Koepka goes and he wins the PGA. And Rory has to say, "Brooks, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations." When it's obviously just killing him, you know. I think there's a lot of that drama going on now at the Masters, which starts next week. And so there's going to be a lot of LIV PGA Tour drama because you do have now Jon Rahm, who is the defending champion at the Masters, is a LIV golfer, and I think he has a reasonable chance to repeat.
Well,
But he's had a lot of dislocation in his life. He left the PGA Tour and went to LIV, and a lot of times that does not do great things for your golf game. So
how
I'm not
come?
well because when players are on a roll, I'll mix my metaphors here. They get in this groove. They've got things. They're playing with the same clubs. They're working with the same people. They're doing the same preparations all the time, and they get in a groove and they start winning until they don't. And when you have a big dislocation, sometimes if you just change your clubs to another manufacturer, or if you get a divorce, or if just any sort of thing happens, it can just disrupt that whole thing. So I would think that there's no reason Rom couldn't repeat as champion, except, for all the dislocations and changes he's had in his life that have been good. I mean, he's made, what, I don't know, a huge amount of money, hundreds of millions of dollars from LIV.
Well,
But
yeah.
anyway, so he's a possibility. Scottie Scheffler obviously is, and Scheffler has been playing extremely well, although he couldn't putt for anything in this last tournament he was in. And also, I do remember, when Scheffler won the Masters, if Claude, correct me if I'm wrong, he four-putted the 18th green. But his lead was such as he could four-putt and still win. But man, that was embarrassing. And I just thought, what does that indicate? I don't know. I mean, it's some weakness at the final moment. So we'll see. Rory is obviously a real possibility because one of the points in the Netflix thing was showing, he McIlroy just spent way too much time on politics and live and everything, and he neglected his golf game, and it showed up because he didn't win the
Oh,
championship.
okay. Okay.
Brooks Koepka is going to be there. I think I would
Okay.
certainly put some money on him.
All right. Okay.
You're getting bored now.
Yeah, totally. But I
I
mean, my God, what's stuck in my head is that you guys have to go to Netflix to watch specials on golf.
Well, yes.
It's fascinating. You should check it out.
Thank you,
Oh,
Paul.
I not
Yeah.
not a not a day in my life.
Well, I will tell you something. It's interesting. Obviously, all athletes have enormous pressure on them in various ways. Golf is an interesting kind of pressure because it's just you standing over the ball, which is not moving, by the way, and you have to hit it. And so the mental discipline it requires is really extraordinary because there's no it's not like instinct, like a guy on the other side of the line moves and you move to block him or something like that. It's just you and your thoughts. And so golfers struggle a lot with their mental game. And I remember reading the biography. I think I reviewed it for the Wall Street Journal. It was a biography of Payne Stewart, the late golfer who won the US Open and a PGA, I think, won the US Open a couple of times. And Stewart was a pretty revved up guy. And he was always trying to calm down in his golf. And so he had a sports coach. He tried meditation. He tried drugs. He tried acupuncture. Finally, he ends up at a mega church in Orlando seeking it in religion. I mean, he's always looking for a certain peace of mind to be able to perform at this high level that he could perform at. So, I think watching these golfers is kind of interesting as they try to deal with this, because nobody is going to win the Masters without concentrating like crazy.
Okay.
And there's a ton of them who have the physical ability to do it, but the focus it requires. One of them's going to have it, but you just don't know who it's going
All right, I'm going to tell the audience that I'm going to leave this conversation.
Oh, no, you don't have to leave the conversation.
Because this is not a challenge I will have. I'll tell you that. So staring at the ball and so on, poor putting. But can we get an update on the Masters from you, maybe when it
Oh, sure.
when
Afterwards,
okay,
yeah.
yeah.
Look forward to it.
Thank you, Byron York. Thank you
Thank you, Bill
for
Bennett. I always enjoy being on. It's just a pleasure.
we love having you. And there's every time we speak is so much we have in the memory bank with you. You know,
Thank you,
so
Bill. Always
thank
appreciate
you.
being on.
You're listening to the Bill Bennett Show.
Bill Bennett Show.
That does it for today's show. To catch up on previous episodes of the show, go to thebillbennettshow.com. Follow me on X, formerly Twitter, William Bennett, and like me on Facebook. Just search Bill Bennett. Feel free to email the show. Wrap it up, Claude.
It's BillBennettShow@gmail.com. That's where you can email the show. And by the way, we're going to do another show where we get to a lot of the emails and respond to those. It's going to come up in another episode or two. And yeah, just share that email as well. And you can share the podcast with your family and friends. And we'll catch up next week.